Welcome to The Bible and Our Culture, an outreach radio ministry of Liberty Remnant Church, where we encourage you to view the culture through the lens of the Holy Bible.
Welcome to The Bible and Our Culture, an outreach ministry of Liberty Remnant Church. Hi, I'm Pastor J. MacPherson, and we've been talking about Generation Z, the Zoomers. Young people today have grown up in a different world than their parents grew up in. The way that I grew up in is totally different than the way my kids are growing up now. A lot of that has to do with technology and screen time, smartphones, and access to information. All this access to information for young people has caused them to expect quick and shallow answers. Anytime they want to know anything, they just ask their smartphone or they ask their device in the home, whatever the case may be, and they expect quick and shallow answers. Well, if you expect quick and shallow answers, then your tendency is going to be to accept things as true that maybe they aren't. There's a lot of quick and shallow answers where people just think, well, you have your truth, I have my truth. There is no objective reality. There is no objective truth. Everything is relative and situational. And so if they hear something loud enough and often enough, they accept it as true. We all tend to do that, but I think a little bit more Generation Z growing up in the information age, that if somebody says it, another somebody says it, and they say it with passion, well, it must be true. And a lot of these young people don't have the attention built up. They have an attention deficit disorder, so they don't want to really think through anything too complicated. They just want a quick and shallow answer. I think the enemy, who's the father of lies, the deceiver of the world, the angel of light, he's going to try and trick them, just as he's tried to trick all generations. But he's thrown over some whoppers, some really big lies that way too many just accept because they're in the habit of accepting quick and shallow answers. I think one of these is climate change, that humans have caused climate change. And we know that to be true because it was snowing last week, and now it's not snowing, proof that there's climate change. Now, they used to call it global warming, but when that didn't work, they switched it to climate change. So no matter what happened, it was quote-unquote proof that climate change is real. If you really think it through, back in the day before there was a lot of funding for climate change, if somebody was a climate scientist, they didn't get paid much money because there wasn't a whole lot of them. But they really had to understand the science of how climate worked. But when there's funding going out to try and prove climate change or global warming, whatever the latest craze is, most scientists are going to agree with their funders or they won't be a scientist anymore. So they're going to give every benefit of the doubt to the hypothesis that the funders want proven so that they can keep their job, so they can be a scientist instead of a dishwasher. There's a lot of reasons why not to trust climate change. A lot of what they think is the cure is heavy taxes, heavy regulation, the destruction of the economy. And as I look at my Bible, I look into what I think is eschatological future end times events, and there seems to be a big warning about economics with the mark of the beast and so on. I don't see much warning about the geological environment. I just don't. And I've seen how this climate change Trojan horse is designed to take away liberty and to usurp control by powerful elitists in the government. Of course, COVID-19 was a quick and shallow answer. Oh, you gotta stay away, be locked down, 14 days to flatten the curve. Okay, we don't know what's happening, seems serious, we'll shut down for 14 days, we'll work from home for 14 days to flatten the curve. But if they got that kind of power, are they gonna give it back and let us be free after that? No, they're going to think of reasons to have us be shut down longer. And then they're going to put masks on our face and they're going to have us do an experimental vaccine, which they tell us will solve everything and you won't get it and you won't be contagious if you just get the vaccine. But then you get the vaccine and then they say, well, you're still contagious. They lied. They were misinforming us. Maybe sincere, or they just went along with the narrative. And they were proven wrong over and over again, but most people don't care. Well, that was weeks ago. Let them be wrong. We'll just do what they tell us and And if we keep doing what they'll tell us, eventually they'll give us our freedom back, right? Never happened. Another quick and shallow answer is what is called critical theory. The most famous brand of critical theory is, of course, critical race theory. But critical theory in general basically says whoever the biggest victim is, they're right. You've got victims and you've got oppressors. And true victory, true salvation is when the victims have overcome their oppressors and now they're oppressing their oppressors. That's critical theory. So it's hard to be objective when you see somebody, well, they're a victim because of this, and they're a victim because of that, and they're a victim because of this, then they must be right in everything. And the people who are oppressors, maybe the people who are successful, well, they got to be wrong in everything. So we see it with critical race theory. It's a way to afflict socialism and communist values on our young people. I think another quick and shallow answer for young people was back when the Benghazi controversy was happening. If you remember way back then, I believe it was 2012, and the election for president was in full swing. Barack Obama was running on a campaign that there had been no terrorist attacks on his watch. And that was a big part of his campaign. Well, right as the election is winding down, they're doing the last debate between the Republican nominee, Mitt Romney, there was a terrorist attack on Benghazi. But Secretary of State Hillary Clinton and other corrupt politicians, that wouldn't fit the narrative that they were using to gain control and gain power in the White House. So they ignored it and they thought everybody else would. And when finally people heard about the attack at Benghazi, they said, well, it was just a spontaneous outburst because of an anti-Muslim video. And they thought that people would accept these quick, shallow answers. And guess what? Many of them did. But fortunately, there were some folks who knew better. They knew they could have rescued the people in Benghazi that gave their lives. They knew they could have gone and had a military operation to stop the terrorist attack. But Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama, they didn't want that. So they let our brave men and women in the embassy die. And they thought they could fool us with quick and shallow answers. Susan Rice, who went on all the talk shows and explained how it wasn't a terrorist attack and what they said really happened, was proven to be a terrible liar. And guess what? She's still honored and revered in her party. Another quick and shallow answer that I think the enemy is trying to push on us and Generation Z is a little bit more vulnerable to is the whole lie of transgenderism. It doesn't make a bit of sense that you can decide you're going to be something that you're not. If it were true, then I could just decide I want to be a 6'7" rich guy and everybody should treat me like that. Well, I got to deal with who I really am. But we've so much distorted the values of mom and dad, the values of male and female, that we no longer value masculinity. We no longer value femininity. It's all become blurred. This is through the entertainment industry and through the education system to where people don't know who they are. And so here's all these kids desperate to belong, desperate to get some attention, and they don't feel like they can get it any other way, but they know they'll get it if they tell their teacher that they're in the wrong body. It's quick and shallow answers are destroying the lives of young people, destroying the bodies of many young people who take hormone-blocking drugs and have surgeries that are irreversible. It's a crime. Speaking of crime, another quick and shallow answer is how crime has increased, but there's been less accountability to the criminals. Oh, we got all this crime, but let's not prosecute it. If we don't prosecute it, we don't have to count the statistics. And so there's less and less accountability for the criminals, but more and more accountability to the people that are succeeding. Well, it's unjust, and it's rewarding bad behavior and punishing good behavior. But the quick and shallow answer is, well, we don't want to punish these people because they had a rough past and they had a bad upbringing, so we don't want to hold them accountable, but we should hold the rich accountable. We should hold the patriarchal system accountable, whatever baloney they're using. Another quick and shallow answer is what I think is a watermark for our society, the fiery but mostly peaceful protest. Back during the COVID-19 government shutdown were the George Floyd riots. And you could go ahead and get together if it was for a riot or for what they call the protest. But we saw in Portland, buildings on fire. And the liberal news media is covering the story like it's this great parade, this great, exciting time to be a part of. And it's basically a violent riot. And in the background, buildings are on fire. And the reporter says, well, it's a fiery but mostly peaceful protest. And they go on to talk about how it's mostly peaceful and all the noble things that these rioters are doing. But you could see with your own eyes, they're burning the place down. And they're burning down businesses of minorities and all sorts of stuff they said they were standing for. They were just looking to vent their anger. And I think it was demonic. Another quick and shallow answer that we've seen. People want a quick and shallow answer. They're going to believe that the January 6th setup was an insurrection. I mean, come on. Do you know what an insurrection is? Well, I've seen the videos of the Capitol Police waving people into the Capitol. And where was all the extra National Guard that was supposed to be on hand? It wasn't there. It was a setup. And sure, some of those trespassers did some things that we can't approve of. But the way they've been treated has been an absolute case of injustice. It is an embarrassment to our judicial system. It's basically a double standard of, well, if you're on one side, we're going to throw the book at you. We're going to abuse you. But if you're on another side, we'll let you off scot-free. It's not really a double standard. It's a single standard of injustice is what it is. Well, all these quick and shallow answers, I think, stem from a quick and shallow answer from the early to mid 1800s. Darwin's Big Bang Theory. I mean, that is a quick and shallow answer. Where do we come from? Well, an honest, objective person says we must come from a creator, an intelligent designer, because we're still figuring out how complicated and complex nature is, how complicated and complex the human body is. We're still learning how awesome and fearfully and wonderfully we're made. But if you don't want to believe in God, then you say, well, we came from a missing link. We evolved from monkeys. Well, where'd they come from? Well, lower life forms. Where'd they come from? Pond slime. Where'd the pond slime come from? Well, I think there was just a big bang. There was all this matter. We don't know where it came from. And all this matter just sort of exploded for no reason. And then order came out of this explosion. Just like if you take a bunch of car parts at an auto part shop and load off a bomb, well, then you have a Ferrari. I mean, it's just as simple as that. Come on, people. We can't accept quick and shallow answers anymore because it's getting out of hand and it's bringing harm to our young people, bringing harm to Generation Z. So Generation Z has been raised with competing 24-hour news channels that we weren't quite raised with. At least I wasn't. I don't know the age of all our listeners, but I was raised where CNN was kind of a new thing. And with it, they had headline news. Every 30 minutes, you could get all the headlines of the news. And then the more in-depth news channel was CNN. And we could tell they were liberal. We could tell that they weren't always that honest, but we didn't really know better. So we kind of watched them. It was all we had. Well, then came Fox News, and now you got your whole smorgasbord of news channels. And they're not really into telling the truth. They're into getting ratings. What gets ratings? Fear, suspicion, panic, hysteria. We have a society full of anxiety. And so let's feed that anxiety. Let's get a breaking news alert. Oftentimes they don't have breaking news on a breaking news alert, but they figured out that if we throw one of those in every 10 to 12 minutes, we keep people from turning off the channel or turning the channel to a competing news source. And so all this news isn't really news. It's really propaganda. And I don't believe any of them. We have things like sex slavery in our culture, and we're seeing and hearing more about it. My teenage daughter knows exactly what a creepy van is, and so do her friends. A creepy van is one of those utility vans that don't have any windows in the back. It's very useful if you got a small business and you need a utility van, but it's also very useful if you want to kidnap young girls and young boys and sell them as sex slaves, because you can throw them in the back and they can't get out and nobody can see them. So these kids today are raised with a high alert. They've got an antenna. Where's a creepy van? Where's a creepy van? And why shouldn't they? We're seeing it happen more and more. Sex slavery is increasing with the open border. And we saw something about Epstein Island and all sorts of corruption. And we still haven't got news about that. It's still being covered up. A few months ago, they released some names, they released some information. They had all sorts of redacted names. And I'm like, who could be redacting names? Because two of the names they did release was former presidents, Bill Clinton and Donald Trump, that they had some sort of connection with Jeffrey Epstein. But they're redacting names. Why? And why did it take them so long? And why haven't they let us have all the information? There's something really corrupt going on with the elites. And kids today, they might not be able to articulate it in a reasonable defense, but they know something's going on. They know when there's a creepy van in their neighborhood. And we should train them about that, because it does happen. We see racism on the rise. I call it neo-racism, because it's a different kind of racism than the past in America. You know who the real racists are? Those who are so anti-racist. The anti-racists are the new racist. That is, they see everything from a racial lens. They don't look at people for their character. They don't look at people based on their personality and experiences and who they are as a person. They look at people superficially based on race. And everything that happens that they don't like, it's because of racism. They just look at everything through the lens of race. And we've seen a rise of racism, and it breaks my heart, because I feel like our generation, we really saw a lot of breakthrough in that area. Another source of anxiety is the safety cult. I mentioned it a little bit last week, but safety and security has become an idol in America. And so many of us are willing to give up our freedom for safety. Oh, you want to take away our freedom? Well, as long as it makes us safe. We'll get any type of injection. You can inject anything you want into our body. We don't care. Just tell us we're going to be safe. And now we're not free, because we have lusted for this superficial safety that we think comes from security that we think the civil government can give us, and they cannot. They say guns are killing people. We should all be in a panic. We should all be suspicious because guns are out there. Guns don't load and fire themselves. We shouldn't be afraid of guns. We should be afraid of the mental health and the spiritual and moral health of our society, because that's where these mass shootings come from. Or they come from people across the border who have been convicted of crime and let go, and convicted of crime and let go. And so then they kill an innocent young college student. And we don't blame the policies of the border. We don't blame the criminal justice system. We blame the guns. Well, that's ridiculous. Any kid can explain that. Any kid realizes that guns are not the problem. It's the heart of the humans in their society that's the problem. If guns were the problem, then I wouldn't have to worry about being overweight. I just blame the silverware. I wouldn't have had an extra helping of ice cream if it wasn't for the spoons. I wouldn't have had another slice of pie if it wasn't for the fork. It's silverware that's the reason I'm overweight. Not because of anything I've done. It's the silverware that makes me a victim. I'm a victim here, you understand. Silverware's fault. But it's true, we don't have the safe parks like we used to. Parents would drive to some park where we'd meet other families in the church, and we'd play in the park all summer long. Just run around anywhere in the park. Nowadays, I go to those same parks that I used to play in as a kid, and I don't feel safe as a 50-something big ugly dude. We don't know our neighbors. Our neighbors might be weird, so we don't get to know our neighbors. We don't even feel safe in the yard anymore. So kids, they don't want to be out in the yard where they think it might be unsafe. Their parents feel like they're unsafe. They just stay in front of the screen and let the internet raise them. Generation Z seems to lack the peace hoped for in an optimum childhood development. I know childhood is free of hassle. Every generation has had threats. We had bullies when I was growing up, and there's all sorts. People have been raised in war. But it's a little different today. If you're raised in war, at least you have your community, your side that you trust, your family and your neighbors that you trust. And you don't like the warring nation. Even the Confederate States, when William Tecumseh Sherman, the Union Army, was running their march to the sea and doing lots of terrible things, at least they felt like, well, we Southerners are trustworthy. It's those Yankees we don't trust. But nowadays, you don't know who is who. Your Aunt Rita might be somebody that thinks you're a Nazi. And they, what are they going to do to you if they find out you believe the way you do? They're going to think you're a Nazi because you support Donald Trump for president or whatever the case may be. It's not a safe environment, but it's a different lack of safety than we've seen before. Ideally, there would be a childhood innocence as a healthy backdrop for kids to grow up from infancy to adulthood, but that's not the case anymore. Gen Z, they've got to grow up more quickly on some levels. And because we forced them to be super mature in things like sexuality and shoved sex at them before they were old enough to handle it, they've got high levels of anxiety, the highest anxiety of a generation. More than 50% of Gen Zers have been diagnosed with a level of anxiety. That's sad. And most Generation Z young people would say there is no meaning to life. Or their life has no meaning. That's terrible, but in a way that's good news. Because if they really believe that, and I could convince them that Jesus has a plan for them, that he's meant that we would live life and have it to the full, and I can show them the purpose and the value and the love and the acceptance found only in him, then we can see lots of young people come to Jesus. But as it stands now, the default worldview of Generation Z is progressive left. They're skipping over childhood and into adult issues way prematurely, but in many ways they aren't growing up like previous generations. They aren't feeling the weight of responsibility for themselves to take on responsibility to work and to do their chores and to clean and present themselves in a professional way. That they aren't learning very soon at all, if they're learning it at all. So consequently, they're the most depressed generation despite being the most entertained generation in all of human history. You know, they broke the millennial record. The millennials, they were the most entertained generation in human history. And before that, us, the Generation Xers, were the most entertained generation in human history. And more we get entertainment, and have more access to entertainment than anybody ever dreamed, it seems the more and more we get depressed and anxious. Sexual issues are thrust upon Generation Z earlier and earlier through technology, entertainment, and quote-unquote comprehensive sex education. Well, 20 years ago, 1% of college students identified as LGBT. Now it's 40%. It's quite a percentage increase, like 4,000% increase. Well, this is progress. This is the progressive agenda, and they're bringing progress that now 40% identify as LGBT. I don't think that's progress at all. I think they've just twisted the minds and hearts of young people, and they're so desperate that they'll do whatever you tell them to do in order to get acceptance. And what the left says are answers, we say they're part of the problem. They're saying, hey, we got a problem with depression, but if we just had more diversity, equity, and inclusion education, then that'll get rid of all the depression. If we just had less patriarchal dominance, that'll get rid of the depression. If we had more comprehensive sex education, that'll get rid of the depression. No, it's not. It's what's causing it. Only 56% of Gen Z agree that Hamas is a terrorist group. I've seen some of them down at Spokane City Hall. They're defending Hamas. And 51% of Generation Z in America said the recent killings by Hamas are justified. 51%! I don't believe they could be more wrong. I wasn't there on October 7th, but I know who to trust. And I cannot fathom that Hamas are the good guys. Generation Z, only 16% are proud to be an American. These same Marxists down at City Hall, they don't stand for the national anthem. They don't stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. They protest everything good, and they push for everything bad. And I don't see them as enemies. I see them as casualties. And I pray that as God got a hold of Saul of Tarsus, that he'll get a hold of many of these young men and show them the purpose that can be found through knowing Jesus. According to George Barna, only 1% of Gen Z has a biblical worldview. Well, that sounds about right to me. It seems shocking in a way, but I've long been an enthusiast about biblical worldview. And as I look at Gen Z, I don't think very many of them have a biblical worldview. 1% sounds about right. Because they're taught, my truth is enough, just as your truth is enough. They're not looking for objective truth because everything is relative. And instead of running away to join a cult, their cults come and find them on the internet. Like a virus, by the time you notice their symptoms, a virus has already replicated a trillion times over inside you. And a lot of these thoughts about gender fluidity and about Hamas and about, I don't know, whatever, fill in the blank, by the time they recognize it could be wrong, they've already been believing that lie for a while. But here's the thing I really want to leave you with. Generation Z is good soil. Generation Z is ripe for the harvest. They're loyal to their cause. They crave authenticity. They're open to identifying with a religion. And if they just understand the value that Jesus is the living water, that all who thirst will find living water and never thirst again, they're going to be telling everybody else about it. They are at the precipice of what could be a great revival. Certainly, we're at a great opportunity for revival and reformation in our culture. And part of the reason I hope that is because I trust God, but also I believe in Generation Z. I believe the young people today who are facing the onslaught of all these lies from the devil and all these crazy messed up values from the culture, I believe these young people can become the answer to our prayers for revival and reformation. Gen Z, you must understand the purpose to which God has called you. God must have your heart. And if he has your heart and you understand his purpose, then praise God, there is no limit as to what can happen in this generation. I believe in you, Gen Z. I believe God has a plan and purpose for your life, that like David, you could serve the purposes of God for your generation. That like John the Baptist, that you can finish your course and run well and accomplish the destiny to which God has called you to. Love to have you come visit Liberty Remnant Church. Please pray for us. We are in the process of moving. We think it'll be this spring. We've got some things happening. So please check out our website and come visit us. You might come to our first service at a new facility where we plan to call home. If you want more information about Liberty Remnant Church or you want to check out past podcasts, please go to our website, libertyremnantchurch.org. My name is Pastor J. MacPherson. Hope to catch you next time. Make it a great week.
Thank you for listening to The Bible in Our Culture, an outreach radio ministry of Liberty Remnant Church. If you want to support this ministry financially, you could do so by going to our website, libertyremnantchurch.org/give, and select Radio Ministry. See you next week at the same time.